may already be there. You have a handout. I'm not preaching on that deal about the daughters, but I would encourage today, it goes along with our Sunday school lesson, I'd encourage you today to, if you're a father or a daughter, that you get together with your daughter, with your father. If your father doesn't call you or talk to you, you talk to him. But get together and go over that list about how to guard your daughter's heart and so forth. And we're living in a day when people are even ashamed now to even say lady. Women don't even want to be called a lady. Ain't that pitiful? Can I say something to you girls? You ought to be a lady. You ought not just be a woman, but you ought to be a lady. And so I want to encourage that. You know, I was talking in Sunday school class there, and I want to kind of just say this. It's talking about, I told of a situation with Zachary, and then I was told about a situation with Nathan. And Ben, he's always been my quiet one. He don't say a whole lot. But I just want to say what a blessing it is at this stage of my life. He and I were doing a sale up north here a week or so ago, and about an hour and a half, 2 hours into sale, I got sick. And I just had to stop, and I got dizzy and had to sit down. Anyway, why? But it was a real joy to me. I just handed the mic to him. I said, son, you're going to have to take this thing over. And, you know, I was sitting there, and he just took that thing and just, it's like he didn't need me at all. Really hurt my feelings. And, you know, Ben, I want to tell you what it meant to me to know that it was in good hands. It was in good hands. And then Susanna, she came up, and she grabbed the clerk and sheet, and they went on and was like, Dad, we don't need you. But, boy, what a blessing. I don't know, it affected me. I just thought, boy, you know, this is the way it ought to be. You know, it's you can hand it over to them, they can take it on and go with it. I want to thank you for praying for me this week down in Springdale, Arkansas. I'm telling you what, I don't say this negatively or to be bad or nothing like that, but Springdale's been taken over by Mexicans. I mean, literally, you pull up to a stoplight, it's Mexican music and Mexican people, and Christ died for them. But I'm going to tell you something, that town's been taken over by evil. The town's evil. And Brother Jim back here, it's good to see you. And good to see this guy from Texas. He's back with us today. God bless you, brother. He was here a year or so ago, and glad to see you guys. Good to have all the visitors. We're glad you're here. I don't like to aggravate people, but we had a good meeting down there, and I want you to pray for that area of the country. Tyson's has brought in those people from Mexico by the bus loads, and I mean, it won't be very long. In about 5 years, they say they will be able to outvote the native people there. And those people need the Lord. Most of them, if they have any religious affiliation, it's Catholic. But mostly they don't, it's nothing. It's just total. And so I pray that God would raise up missionaries and people who can learn their language and who can reach them. Because all they're interested in is making money and immorality. And that's the two things they're interested in. And boy, I tell you, it burdened my heart to see what's going on down there. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's estimated that half of those people are illegals. That ain't right. The factories and the places that are hiring illegals ought to be fined to death. And the illegals ought to be put out of this country. Unless they're here on a work permit and legally doing it that way. But this business of lawlessness is going to get us. Anyway, get off all that. Let's go, because we got to roll and go. You be praying. Listen, there's several situations of families and so forth that hurting and need help and blessing, and pray for the Lord and pray for us to be able to do what we need to do. I'm working with some marital situations and so forth outside the church. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 16, we've been preaching through this book. We're about to the end of it. We got to verse 13, 14, and we've had to slow down. We preached a couple, 3 Sundays ago on watching. We preached on being alert. The devil going to steal you, your family. I mean, just ruin your life. If you don't watch out, I mean, I'm telling you, stay on the ball. We preached the next Sunday on stand fast in the faith, about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then last week we preached on quit you like men. Now this Sunday I'm going to preach on two words, and the two words are be strong. Be strong. And that's what I'm going to preach on today. I pray that you pray for me while I preach. It'd be very easy for me to get in the flesh today, and I don't want to do that. I don't even want to get out around the pulpit. I may do it, but it'd be easy for me to do that because this subject is so critical in America right now. Father, we pray that you'd help us to preach I ask you to fill me afresh and anew and anoint me with the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I am nothing. And I pray, God, today that, Lord, your Holy Spirit and the grace of God would enable me to humble myself that I might get grace, Lord, to preach the word of God. Lord, these people have come and they're on a journey through life. And they don't need no messing around. They don't need chocolate. They need the meat of the word. And I pray, God, that, the Lord, that I'll preach in such a way that the Holy Ghost would strengthen them and that they would be strong, not just talk about being strong, but be strong. Lord, I pray for my own life that I'll heed this message today. God, this country is so full of weakness, it's pitiful. Churches are stinking, weak. Preachers are stinking weak. Lord, we need strength, and you've commanded us to be strong. And Lord, you never gave a command, but what you don't give the grace to obey it. So Lord, help us today. I pray, God, that in this church that men will be strong in the Lord. Women will be strong in the Lord. Young people will be no longer led about by the nose, by this world, like a chain in their nose, God, but they'll be strong in the Lord. God, that this church would be strong. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this book, this Bible that you've given us. And God, the truths that it has and the power that it has. And Lord, it's all the difference in the world. Lord, you are our all in all today. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We thank you today for all that you are to us, for our Savior, our Reconciler, our Justification, our Redeemer, our coming King and the Judge of all the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you know every thought we've ever thought, that there's nothing hidden from you. Lord, help us to walk in the light of thy truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I do want to welcome all that's listening online today. We're glad you're with us. And want you to know, we're just tickled that you're with us. This country today, this world is full of spiritual and emotional and even physical wimps, cowards, chickens, and snowflakes. I've never seen a time in my life when manhood is so sick. I mean, you see that, and I don't care what it's an advertisement. They got these here unisex haircuts on these boys. Then they got their little boys got these little buns on. And I want to tell you something, boy. I don't care where you lie. I told that church down there this week, you know what? I don't give a rip whether I ever come back here or not. And I don't care whether you come back or not. I'm not up here trying to preach you and make you like me and like this church. We're living in desperate times. And if we don't have a revival of manhood in this country, we're shot. Because that's what all these, that's what the Democrats are after and the liberals are after and the progressive after is to destroy biblical manhood in this country. And I hope to God today when I preach that somebody in this church will say, you know what? I'm not no longer going to be led around by this world and be a wimp. I'm going to be a man of God. We're full of chickens and cowards and snowflakes. That little Beto, whatever snowflake that thing is, says he's going to take our ARs. That guy's loony in a tune. You know what? I guarantee you he's not going to walk up to one man and try to take his rifle. He ain't nothing but a coward behind a microphone. Makes me sick. Somebody ought to knock him down. Amen? Amen. He needs his teeth knocked down his throat. That guy has no business running for office. He's against the Constitution already. There's no way in the world he could put his hand on the Bible and swear to defend, to preserve, and protect the Constitution. He's against it now. Y'all just well get off your little chairs today, get in the game, amen? We're not having snowflake church today, if you've already noticed that. We've got a country of people led around by just like a ring in their nose and a chain. Weaklings. Who cannot resist the devil. Our church is full of people who can't even resist the devil. Whatever the devil tells them to do, they do it. Unquestioning obedience. Then come to church and sing, "How great thou art." We're living in a time of church that, whenever weak people, they can't say no to immorality. They can't refuse the world's dress style. They bow to every fad and every fashion. They kneel down to every political correct command you can make. Let me show you how weak-kneed some of you in this church house are. You better buckle up your seatbelt. Job said this. He said, "Look to the beast of the field and they shall teach thee." He said, "Look to the fowls there." You know what God is saying? If you ain't got enough sense to read the Bible and you ain't got enough sense to rightly divide the word of truth and you can't learn nothing from anybody else, look at the animals and the birds and they'll teach you something. Now, you ready? I've got a bunch of racist birds out at my farm. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, Karen. I got a bunch of sparrows that won't mate with the doves. Now, they're all birds. Are you listening? Some of you are so afraid of being called racist, you won't touch this with a 10-foot pole. because you're afraid somebody call you a racist. They got you so carried down that you couldn't take it if somebody called you a racist. Did you know that my Blue Jays do not mate with my sparrows? Did you know that all the preachers in the country who are using Acts 17 to say it's okay for all this interracial garbage are using Acts 17 and says, he hath made of one blood all nations? That's true, but they'll never quote you the last part of that verse. Are you listening? I've lost some of you already. You already cowed out. The last part of that verse says, and hath appointed their boundaries. And when America violated the boundaries of other countries by bringing slaves in, God is still cursing this country over it. Now you listen to me. Don't you go out here and say, this is on tape, by the way. Don't you say I'm a racist. Racist is a person who believes that somebody of different color does not have the same value before God Almighty. And I don't care whether you're orange, pink, purple, yellow. I don't care what color you are. If you're a human being, Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. Amen. But did you know that does not mean that God wants everybody mating up? Right. Woo! Aren't we having a good time today? So I'll shut some of you ameners down. Because you're so cowed down, plenty collect already. You wouldn't say that on the job, save your life. I'll say it from the pulpit. You listen to me. We've got a generation all over this country. We've got a bunch of half-black babies that ain't got no daddy. They're going to be mad at this world. Yeah. I ain't got a dove on my farm that's dating a crow. Have you? What's the birds on your farm doing? Yeah. I ain't got a buck deer on my farm mating with elk. I've shut you all down. You know what? I can literally care less. Because this nation is messed up. I just did that just to show you how politically correct weak we are. If the liberals tell you that if they act like you, and you go, oh, I didn't mean to act like that. Listen, shh. Can you hear it in this church? It's quiet. It's real quiet. You'll kneel down to every politically correct command the world gives you. You ain't got enough strength in you to refuse a can of beer. Some of you kids say here every week, and oh, you're trying to look like you're a big boy to the girls, but you ain't big enough to refuse a can of beer. You little weak sissy. You're a stinking little coward. Oh, I bet when you took that can of beer the other night, you said, oh, thank you, man. I go to church down at Liberty Faith. Did you know that? You didn't say that while you took that can of beer. You shut your little mouth, didn't say squat, and acted like you don't go to church anywhere. Didn't you? You little sissy. You ain't got enough guts. You ain't got enough backbone when somebody hands you a joint to say, get that crap out of my face before I kick it out of your, shove it down your throat. No, you ain't no man. You ain't no woman. You're a little sissy coward. An emotional, and if something don't go your way, you need your safe space. You're emotionally going to crack up and fold up. Somebody needs to put a hole in your hand and a chainsaw in your hand. And you work all day, you won't be near as emotionally cracked up when somebody says something you don't like. I'm just being honest with you. I'm upset everywhere I go. Just a bunch of sissies, a bunch of cowards, and churches are full of them. Right. Little boys walking in churches all this country look like a little sissy. I'll tell you what, got your little tight pants on. I bet half the boys in this church house are wearing panties for underwear. Way you act. This ain't going. I told you I was praying for some of you ain't praying. I've already got in the flesh, hadn't I? You can't refuse immorality. You can't say no. spiritual sissies, professing Christians who are so weak they cannot even spot a false teacher. I mean, Joyce Meyer will come up there to Big Assembly of God Church in Ozark, and they'll line up for 5 miles to go see a false witch. She looks like a lesbian butch. Hey, is that right or not? She'll get up and parade around in front of the pulpit with tight jeans on, like some of you wear. And her hair's cut in a butch haircut, strutting around. I wonder who her little wimpy husband is. Where is he at? And she'll get up there in the Bible when it says that a woman should not speak in church. That's not permitted for them to speak in church. She's up there preaching. Woo! Ain't you're not even spiritually strong enough to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing. Some of them clowns, name me some of them clowns on TV. I don't watch them. Who are they? Y'all afraid to say anything, aren't you? Who's that one looks like he's got the devil in his eyes, flies in planes around all the time? Kenneth Copeland? Is that him? There's one of them guys. I'm honest with you, he looks like he's got the devil in his eyes. And he'll get up there, you know, and tell you, all it is prosperity gospel gets you giving money. Biggest joke I ever seen in my life, lie to you like a dog and say, if you'll send for a gift of $35, we'll send you absolutely free these two CDs. And they're lying to you right there and you can't even pick it up. They're not sending them to you unless you send the $35. Can I tell you, hey, Sister Connie, what's them two CDs cost? Raw. About a dollar. That's pretty good profit, $35 to a dollar. I tried selling mine, nobody will buy them. I have to give them away. No, seriously, I'm just saying to you, we're so weak spiritually, we can't even spot them wolves. People are being duped all over the country about it. We can't stand against ungodly music in our churches. I mean, literally, people are going in worldly worship methods, don't even have enough spiritual strength to... Watch this. We're living in a nation that doesn't even have enough spiritual strength to examine some book that they tell them is a Bible that's not the Bible. They don't even have enough spiritual strength to look at that and say and compare it and say, you know what? This is full of lies. This is not true. This is contradictory. We're living in a nation of weak preachers whose only real concern is not to get out of line with the denominational mafia. That's their only real concern. So they can go up the ladder. That you want to know what's wrong? Preachers that are scared of everybody. The Bible said the fear of man bringeth a snare and it traps them and they can't preach. Did you know I had an 80-some-year-old man this week and his sister? He can't even drive. He had a sister drive him every night. Don't go to the church that a pastor, but he said, Reggie, somehow or another we got invited and they came. And he set me down Wednesday night last night and he looked at me in the eyeball and he said, I have not heard preaching like this since I was a little kid. I thought it was totally gone for the United States. I'll tell you a little story you're talking about. It might help somebody along the road. He said, Reggie, I got a boy. Him and his wife said they had 9 kids. It's homeschooling. Are you listening? And he said she got breast cancer, radical. Taking her out, couldn't stop it. He said, before she died, my boy asked her, said, honey, we got these 9 kids. What about me getting married again? I mean, I want to hear what you say about it. And she said to him, said, I want you to pray and do what God tells you to do. I don't know. But I want you to know I'm not. I just think you need to ask God what to do. Well, anyway, she died. He's got 9 kids. How many of you guys like to be left with 9 kids? Anyway, 2 or 3 years later, he said, my son showed up at my door, said, Daddy, pray for me. I'm headed to Texas. Said, I've met a lady. I'm going to go down and talk to her. And he said, Daddy, pray for my kids because I told them this. I said, all 9 kids down. I said, I'm going down to see a lady in Texas about marrying her. And he said, but kids, I promise you this, I will not marry her without every one of you saying yes. Everyone. He went down to see her. She's 50-some years old, had never been married. They hit it off. And so she says, well, I think I better go up there and meet these kids. Can you imagine? So she comes up, spends a few days up there in Arkansas and getting acquainted with all the family. And they all hit it off pretty good. And she left. And he asked the kids, he said, well, kids, what do you think? He said, because we're thinking about getting married. And one girl said, Daddy, I don't like her. I don't think you should marry her. And the girl had a little something going on. But he said, all right. He said, I promise you, unless you're all nine with me, we ain't going. But he said about a few weeks later, said she walked up to him one day and said, Daddy, she said, I've been praying. And she said, I believe God wants you to marry her. Sometimes God tests. But what I'm saying to you is this, folks, let me tell you, life is real. People don't need a bunch of junk. They need strength to hold them in the midst of the storms of their life. And that's what I want to preach to you about today. I'll get through all this fleshly garbage here in just a minute. But I'm just being honest with you. Something breaks my heart. Preachers are so weak and cowardly and fearful of people. They never dare whimper a word about the naked cheerleaders in the church showing their panties at the pom-pom football game. Everybody's all wiped up about football this fall. You know what? I'm thinking like, okay, here's all these girls down there showing their nakedness, and here's all these people that are supposed to be going to church. What in the world kind of country are we living in? They won't say nothing about it. They won't say a thing about it. The fact that prayer around, can I just tell you something? I'm not against prayer around the pole. I'm not against bring your Bible to school day. But can I tell you something? The flat truth of it is that just shows you how ungodly that mess is. That if it's going to be a big deal for us to have prayer around the pole at school, that's telling you God ain't in that place. I mean, if it's a big deal for us to take our Bible to school and we're all going to build up our nerve and we got a football player leading us and we're all going to take our Bible to school. Can I tell you, they got theirs every day here, and it's not some big event. And those same preachers won't say nothing about a school system that tells their kids that God, Jesus Christ, is a liar in the first verse of the Bible. They won't say nothing. The country's full of cowards who love the world and the friends of the world. They're 10 shekel and suit preachers. As long as the offering's all right and they got a house to live in, they're all good. Or they're in some kind of fantasy religious world in which the church on Sunday doesn't have a cotton picking thing to do with the reality of their world on Monday. As long as they have a good church service, everything's good. But it does not affect their world. We live in a nation where it's constantly accommodating the world. We brought the honky-tonk music into our churches, the rock and roll music, the emotion. I'm going to tell you something that's more dangerous. Can I tell you something that's more dangerous? And again, I don't care if we like it or don't like it. More dangerous. I'd rather have a rock and roll band up here playing hard rock. I'd rather have a country and western barroom group playing than this romantic, emotional Christian music. Now, this takes us back. You say, Reggie, how come? I can't exactly tell you what's wrong with that, but my spirit says, Reggie, that's the most dangerous stuff in the world. First of all, I know you didn't get it out of God's word. You brought it out of those channels that you listen to that soft rock on is where you got it from. But we got to do all that stuff to get the millennials in and the youth in our churches. And then we're never going to mention sin in reality. We're not going to judge anybody. And we're not going to preach repentance. And we're going to be real silent on hell lest anybody think they need to be converted. It's the first church of the accommodation with a carved out Jesus in their mind. And I said all that to say this. Would anybody agree that it sure looks like we're heading on rough times? I mean, I'll be honest with you. It'd be a miracle to me if we don't have civil war in this country in the next 5-10 years. You get a Democrat elected and a Democrat Congress and stuff, and they start pushing this stuff. How many of you are going to turn over your guns? When they start telling you that when they start telling me that I can't preach against sodomites from this pulpit, how many think there's going to be problems? I'm telling you something. We're living in the last days. I mean, it's a reality. It's not a joke. Now, here's what I long, where my heart's at. I long to see parents who are strong parents, yet kind and gentle, who raise young people that are not little puppets of this world, who actually have the strength to be strong against the tide of iniquity in this country. I long to see young people who are, as the Bible called, plants of the Lord, grown up in their youth. Young people who are mature at 12, 13 years old. strong in faith, sensible, who can stand alone if they have to, fearless and unashamed of Jesus Christ, the Bible and truth. Not who look the part on the outside, but who have a genuine inner godly strength. Whenever Moses was taking the children of, children of Israel out of Egypt, as he approached the promised land, they were to conquer that land. This was not for wimps. There were giants in that land. There were powerful people. God constantly told Moses, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Then when Moses died, he told Joshua repeatedly, and you can read it in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Now I'm going to tell you, God commands us. He didn't say act or put on the front like you were strong. He said, be strong. Christianity is not for wimps. And so we're going to look at, you have your handout with you on that where it says be strong. The first one that you need to write in there is strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. So we're not going to talk about all that's bad today. We're going to talk about how to fix this thing. It's one, you know, any preacher can get up here and rail against this, that, or the other. You listen to me? That doesn't take no guts. What the difference is, if you can say, all right, here's what the Bible says, and ingest that into your spiritual system and get some good from it. Here's the secret today to this thing. Number one is be strong in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So right in there, filling that gap in the Lord. Can I tell you something? We are not strong in and of ourselves. Reggie Kelly is super weak apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. Apart from the Word of God, I have no strength. We're not talking today about trying to be some kind of Christian people who are superior to other people in churches and who are somehow or another we have more willpower. No, we're not talking about that at all. We're not talking about supercharging our flesh or whether we think we're somebody when we're nothing. We're talking about the realization that God has commanded us to be strong and that we can be strong in the Lord. All right? David said the battle is the Lord's. When he went to fight Goliath, can I tell you something? What were all those guys sitting on the hillside doing? All those big shot soldiers, those generals, those corporals, those lieutenants, those tough guys sitting up on the hill. You know what their problem was? I guarantee you they probably had more muscle in their arm than I've got in my leg. But they did not have spiritual strength. And there was one young man that had spiritual strength to say, who is he to blaspheme the name of our God? David's strength was not in himself. It was knowing his God. And the way you're going to be strong when he says be strong, is learn to be strong in the Lord. Did you know that there's nothing impossible with God? Did you know that God is all strength, that God created this world? He holds it in balance. You and I don't even have a remote comprehension of how powerful and strong God is. And God says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are turn perfect toward him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf. God wants you to be strong. I want to ask you this one, how strong is your marriage? How strong is your family? How strong is your home? How strong is your heart? How strong are your convictions? We're not living in mess up days, I'm telling you something. It's unbelievable what's going on out here. It really is. And America's sinking. Because we didn't have strong Christians. Be strong in the Lord. Daniel, what enabled him not to bow? What enabled him not to say, hey, okay, I won't pray tonight? What enabled him to face the lion's dens? Because he was strong in the Lord. What caused those three Hebrew children not to bow when they said bow when they played the music? They were strong in the Lord. What gave Elijah his strength against 850 prophets of Baal? Can you imagine? You talk about a church service. Wow. This is not fairy tales. You're talking about a man who stood alone, 850 prophets of Baal. Amen. That's manhood. But his strength was in the Lord. David, Noah, what caused him to be able to do what he did? I don't have time today to take this, but I would challenge you to do this. Start at Psalms 18 and go forward and find out how many times David said, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength and my tower. And on he went. And David just continuously through the book of Psalms talks about the strength of that his strength was not his strength. The strength that he had was the strength of the Lord. My heart's desire, listen to me, I want your marriage so strong that Satan can't tear it up. Let me tell you, Karen and I, it's not perfect. We've had, I'm just telling you, if it wasn't for the strength of God, our marriage wouldn't have lasted. But people don't even seem to have the strength. You know what I told her one day? I said, I ain't leaving. You're just going to have to live with me. You know, I made up my mind. I'm just saying, you got to make up your mind. You got to be strong about some things. She looked at me and says, I ain't leaving either. I told a judge one time over at Hartville, I said, you don't know how to fix all the marital problems in Wright County that come before you? He said, how, Reggie? I said, throw both of them in that back cell back there and let them tell them you can get along. That's where you stay. About 3 days and nights back in that old rotten, stinking, nasty cell, look at my honey, we better get along. Amen? I'm just saying to you, be strong in the Lord. Isaiah 41:10, my last verse, fear not, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. There's no way I could do what I could do except the strength of the Lord. I'm honest with you. Spiritual warfare is not like anything else. It's not football. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. It's not cutting wood. Spiritual strength, I'm telling you, when everything comes against your soul, you're going to have some strength. And then there's number two, let's go. Number two, strong in faith. Abraham was strong in faith. You know what that means? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. If you're going to be strong, number one, you understand you're going to be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength. Number two, understand you have to be strong in faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. That means you're going to have to read your Bible. 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 Yeah, you will not be strong unless you're reading your Bible. You need to know this book. The Bible said that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but being strong in faith. He said, Abraham looked at himself, 90 years old, 100 years old. His wife, 90 years old. He's strong in faith. He said, I don't care if my body's not, if me and her body doesn't look like it can happen. God said, we're going to have a child. We're going to have a child. God said, I'm going to have descendants and sons of the seed. That's what's going to happen. And I don't care what the circumstances look like. I am talking about calling those things which be not as though they were, so they can be, because you believe God's word about the matter. Strong in faith. Do you believe God? And I'm not talking about getting your candy for life. I'm talking about in doing the will of God in your life. Strong in faith. Know the doctrines of the Bible. Know the truth of the Bible. Be Christ-like. Believe God. Don't stagger at the promises of God. Number three. 2 Timothy 2:1. The Bible said, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. If you're going to be strong, as 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, number one, be strong in the Lord. Number two, be strong in faith. You have to know the book. Number three, you've got to be strong in grace. Now, you listen to me. A man can be strong in faith, know the Bible well, but if he's not strong in grace, he's in trouble. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. First of all, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, watch it, but the grace of God that was in me. Now listen to me. Being strong in grace will hold you up when it blows other people out of the water. Now listen to me. Here's what it is. Grace is primarily the unmerited favor of God. Are you listening to me? That is the primarily definition of grace. But grace is farther than that. That's what's called sometimes the passive definition of grace. The unmerited favor of God. We're saved by grace. I didn't do anything, can't do anything to earn it or merit it. God just, out of his grace, saved me while I was yet a sinner. Okay? But there's serving grace and living grace. And that grace is when God gives you as a child of God. By the way, he even gives you this when you're lost. Here's what it is. The desire and the power to obey God's word. Now listen, a while ago I talked about being so wimpy, so shallow, so sissified, you can't even say no to a can of beer. Did you know how you can do that? Because the grace of God that's in you. Now here's what it is. I'll give you this example. If you've ever been saved, honestly saved, let me tell you what happened. God gave you the desire to repent, and he gave you the power to repent. You didn't even get it on your own. You didn't up in one day and say, you know, I think I'm just going to start living different. Bless my little sweetheart. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gave you the desire to repent. He gave you the power to repent. By the way, watch this. He gave you the desire to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he gave you the power to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was all grace. Now, you're saved. Watch this. He gives grace to, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Here's the deal. God, every day of our life, wants us to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Then he will give us grace to obey what the Bible says. And that's what you have to have. You cannot, can I tell you, you cannot live the Christian life apart from grace. If you try to, it becomes fleshly efforts. And it will get so heavy on you, you can't bear it. That's what I've had to wrestle in this church ever since I pastored. It's what I've wrestled with. I've had people come and say, Reggie, I just can't do all the things you preach. I said, I know it. Half of it I preach just to get you to know you can't. To get you so burdened that you turn to Christ. Hey, I got on my face one day on the upstairs of my house, fell on my face and said, God, I can't bear it anymore. I can't do this. I don't know what's going on, but I can't handle all this garbage. God, if you don't do something, I'm out of the ministry. Do you know what he did? I'm sitting there just like, I don't know what else to say. And a little tape recorder went off in my soul and this is what it said. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I sat there for about 5 minutes. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden. Finally, I said, Lord, I know that verse. I've preached on it before. What are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, you won't listen. But I'm trying to tell you that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you've took stuff on you that I never put on you. And you've put stuff on you that other people have put on you. And what the church thinks you're supposed to do. And it's tearing you apart. Right. And Reggie, get this. Always my yoke, whatever I put on you, will be easy. And my burden, whatever I put on you, will be light. And I'll give you the grace to do whatever I've called you to do. And yet that's the absolute truth. He's done it now for 38 years. I'm more fired up about the ministry than I've ever been in my life. We're reaching more people than we've ever reached in my life. A Marine got saved out there in California here a while back. Wrote us a letter about sitting there listening to the message. I'm telling you, listen, this week a pastor's wife might have been saved from suicide. This church don't know anything about it. And I'm just telling you. But you know what? If I don't get God's grace, brother, I can't do this. Right. And you can't do what you're doing. And this church needs grace. We've got to be strong in grace. That means that we're seeking God's grace all the time. The desire and the power to do what God's called you to be a daddy, he'll give you grace. God's called you to be a mama, he'll give you grace. He's given you children to raise, he'll give you grace. Amen. And you can't brag about it because he's the one that gave it to you. It's all God. Well, we got to run. Number four, strong in spirit. Now, boy, this is where I could park my boat for a long time. I'm going to tell you something right now. You kids, boy, Caleb, I want you to get this. Lock it down. Get this number four. All these, they're all important, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you can get number four down, strong in spirit. The Bible said in Luke chapter 180 that John, watch this, John the Baptist grew and he waxed strong in spirit. The Bible said in Luke 240 that Jesus Christ was strong in spirit. I want to ask you a question. What's in a man who lets people, who lets someone, a group of soldiers or whoever lead him up to a stake, tie his hands behind that stake and say, if you'll deny Jesus Christ, we'll let you go. If you don't, we're going to burn you. And they'll say, I can't deny him. It's when your spirit is so strong, it overrides any fear of what loss of money, loss of friends, hatred by the world, betrayal by people. Your spirit is so strong that it sustains you in the midst of the worst trials you can even imagine. What about that girl out there in that flower in Colorado, but that town. And that guy's shooting, and he asked her, "Are you a Christian?" And he's got people slaughtered all around her. Walks up to her and says, "Are you a Christian?" She looks him straight in the eye and says, "Yes." Boom! Strong in spirit. We know this, but we don't seem to really grasp how powerful it is. And I'm going to tell you my heart's desire. If I died before noon today, I'd leave you one dying wish. That every family in this church house is strong in spirit. That nothing that happens to you, nothing that comes your way, no disappointments, no losses, no sickness, no nothing could destroy your faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, did you know who that said about? It said about young people there. John the Baptist was young when he was strong in spirit. You get me a girl that's strong in spirit, I'm telling you what, I'll show you a person. You get me a boy that's strong in spirit, I'll show you somebody. Someone, watch this. It is someone who is not ruled by their flesh or by their emotions or by their mind. Their spirit is connected to God's spirit. Remember what I talked about in Sunday school class this morning about get your spirit lined up first, then your soul, then your body will follow? A person who is strong in spirit, their spiritual life has dominance over their fleshly mind, over their body, and it controls who they are. And they're not led away by a chain on every little old fad and fashion and all this kind of junk. They're strong. And it's an inner strength. I'm telling you this, I may not be able to convey this like I need to, but I am telling you right now. By the way, it's an energy, it's a strength, it's an enthusiasm that God gives to continue and to conquer. It's a victorious spirit that a person has. Let me get on because it's getting moving on down the road. Number five, be strong in cause or purpose. Be strong in cause or purpose. 1 Samuel 17:29, David came up there and they was talking all this stuff and he said, watch this. He said, is there not a cause? If you don't have a cause, your life ain't going to amount to snap. I want to ask you today, what's your cause? What are you living for? Boy, I'm telling you right now, I know I'm ornery and I don't even know why people even come hear me preach. I'm honest with you because I get so rough sometimes and I seem like I just try to figure out something to preach to tick people off. I don't know. I don't really mean to, but it's not hard to in this generation, I can tell you that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm more enthused about the work of the Lord than ever been in my life. And it's just like God just keeps paring things off and saying, Reg, you finally getting where you realize what's really important. And whenever 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I go over and read in Ecclesiastes where Solomon said, I got this, I got that, and I got this, I had the women, I had the wine, I had the wealth, I had the farms, I had this, I had that. I said, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. I'm sick of it all. Live with a cause. And let that cause be Christ and his gospel and his glory and souls. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you talked to anybody about their soul? When's the last time you... I met a guy this week and I used to ask him, I said, are you saved? You know, I'm just saying that it takes the grace of God to care. But if you don't have a cause in life bigger than yourself and bigger than this world, you don't have much of a cause. God help us to be strong in purpose, strong in cause. Hey, watch this. The fact that David said, is there not a cause? Said he's blaspheming the God of Israel. We need some young people who've grown up in this country and saying, is there not a cause? Can I just tell you, whether you like it or not, America was founded on Christian principles. It is founded as a Christian nation. And that's a cause. We need attorneys. We need elected officials. We need doctors. We need farmers. We need business people that are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, thank God so much for Chick-fil-A. It ain't even funny. You know what I really think is funny? They're closed on Sunday. You can't jump out of church and go to Chick-fil-A. I think that's funny. And they're the fastest growing fast food deal in the world. They're going to zoom right on by McDonald's. McDonald's is going to go to pot. And they're not even open on Sundays. One of the biggest secrets is their employees get rest and worship so they will come back and treat people right. I'm telling you something. If you get this thing of down that my business and my work and my job and my whatever I do, its cause is to glorify Jesus Christ, your world will change. But if you don't have a cause, pretty soon, I mean, the balloon's going to bust. Number six, we got to keep trucking. Number six, be strong in prayer and fasting. God said in Mark chapter 9, verse 29, he said, this kind cometh forth nothing but by prayer and fasting. And I don't have time to stay on this very long, but let me just tell you something. Prayer is powerful. This ministry, this work that God's doing here was started by prayer. It is sustained by prayer. And there are situations that's going to come in your life that are so powerful, so strong, so satanic, that there's nothing but prayer and fasting is going to conquer the situation. We need to get back to that. There's nothing impossible. You want to break the strongholds on your loved ones and so forth that's going on? Pray and fast. Number seven. And I put this last, and maybe it should have been put first. But be strong morally. Proverbs 7:26 says, many strong men have been slain by her. Samson was taken down by immorality. David was taken down by immorality. Solomon, his son, was taken down by immorality. I told you this morning of a preacher who left five children and a wife. Taken down by immorality. It's all over the country. His youngest daughter now is a flaming liberal lesbian. It's not just you that's going to be taken down morally, but it'll be your descendants. Read and study and know this man. His name is Joseph. Joseph is your scriptural example of being strong morally. Now listen to me. When I told you about that guy who ran for office down there and got in office, and that secretary come by one day by the desk, watch this now, watch this. You boys, listen to me. She came by, and all she did, he told his son-in-law what she did. He said, as she came by my desk, said she spoke to me a little bit, and then she just took her hand and flitted her fingers across my wrist. Watch it. Love you. Ben, all my boys. You watch it. All of you. Ain't none of us in here can't be taken down. There's not a man in this building, unless he's spiritually strong, can be taken down. The Bible said many strong men have been taken down by her. Now here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see young men who, whenever some girl gives you the eye and gives you that, come on, that you're able to be friendly to her and be kind to her, but say, listen, I enjoyed watching you girls play volleyball the other night. Did a good job. But girls, I want to tell you something. Don't let any guy take your morality. Be strong, okay? And if you're here and you've messed up, you've had trouble, whatever, failed, you know what? God will restore the years of the locust ate. Can I tell you, you're serving a God today that can renew, rebuild your life, give you hope. You don't know half the people in this building who could tell you stories that just, you'd think, well, you make you look light. Amen. Be strong morally, though. We need more. Can I tell you something? Morality is a blackmailer's trap. Sometimes people wonder why politicians vote like they do. They're trapped. They're blackmailed. The other day, I'm gonna make a prediction to you. Won't find this out until Judgment Day. There's a judge the other day who let off a child molester and just gave him a few months parole. Didn't get nothing. Known, admitted child molester. He let him off. I read that article, and boy, a lot of people are ticked off about it. And I thought, why would a judge do that? Knowing what that boy did. He blackmailed. Can I tell you, sodomites are blackmailers. They get you to do one little deal, something gets you messed up just a little bit, and then they'll use that to blackmail you. They're the worst blackmailers in the world. Be careful about it. Immorality will cause you to lose your strength. God wants you to be strong. so nobody can blackmail you, nobody can corner you, nobody can pull that out and destroy you. Be strong in the Lord. I know that I've been a little bit rough today, but I'm going to be honest with you. What we're seeing is sickening, the weakness, the sissiness, the lack of manhood. I'm not talking about pumping weights and have big muscles. I'm talking about being strong internally for the Lord. If you're listening today or in this building, you're lost. You have no strength to even save yourself. But God can save you. I was drowning in the sea of sin and had no strength, Brother Bill, to raise myself up. Jesus reached down and pulled me out and saved me. By the way, you talk about strength. I want you to just give me a little bit of time, and I'm going to tell you about the strength of your Savior. Number one, he resisted and conquered every temptation. The Bible said he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We got a strong Savior. Number two, he was meek when falsely accused. It takes strength to keep quiet when people's lying on you and telling all kinds of junk about you and twisting everything you've ever said. He was strong. Number three, he endured probably the worst human beating anybody's ever went through. The Bible said his visage was marred more than any man, and his body more than the sons of men. And he took it and was not guilty of anything. Number four, and I cannot comprehend this, but he bore the sin of all the world. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. When the lights went out in heaven and God forsook his son, you talk about a strong person. Number five, he gave up the ghost and said, Father, in thy hands I commit my spirit. No man took his life from him. He laid it down. We're not talking about some jukebox, stupid, animalistic religion like Islam or all this junk Buddhist garbage. We are talking about God in the flesh who demonstrated his strength to you and I in every aspect of his life. And then on the third day, you talk about power and strength. God raised him from the dead. And he is alive evermore. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father today. And he's interceding for me and for you. And you talk about power. You want to be on the right side of this thing, I can tell you. He's coming back in power and in glory. And he's going to defeat all of the evil of this world. And he's going to rule and reign with righteousness with a rod of iron. We serve a God of power, a God of strength, and has commanded you and I to be strong. But our strength is only in him, and it comes. Paul said, listen to it, I'm done. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And I want to close by saying to you that I love you with all my heart. And I've just got something in me. You know what would make me sick to my guts? If I thought my children were just noodle back wimps and couldn't stand for something. That's what would make me sick. Ralph, that's where I just say, what's the use? And I bet you want that in your children. And I want it for you. I want you kids to know I love you. I want you to be strong in the Lord. And I'm done. Miss DeGase, would you raise your hand just as much as you can? Miss DeGase, would you raise your hand? Now, girls, I'm going to tell you a little secret. We're out of here. That woman made me a carrot, walnut, or pecan nut carrot bread this week. And it's as good as you ever ate. And you need to go ask her how to make it. Thank you, Sister DeGase. How old are you now?
94.
Bless your heart. Sister Pearl, how old are you?
86.
87. Good thing to have a daughter keep you lined out. Amen. Now, did you realize that when you were in first grade, Miss DeGase was in seventh grade? So she's a lot older than you are. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't mean to cut nobody out of nothing, Dave. But you see them two ladies, both you ladies, raise your hand just a little bit right there. Those two ladies have labored at this school and at this church and never really wanted a dime for it. And they've been strong. They didn't let somebody's little 2-cent word knock them out of church. Are you listening? I'm talking about being strong. They didn't let the fact that they didn't get paid much or somebody or some parent said something about them and somebody said this about them and they've had it all. How strong are you today? What's going to take to knock you out? Let me tell you about all of us. We're not near as strong as we think we are. We're not strong at all apart from Jesus Christ. So let's get this. Let's be strong in the Lord, strong in faith, strong in grace, strong in spirit, strong in purpose, strong morally. Let's go out and live for God. Hey, we think. Amen. About dinner time, ain't it? About dinner time. I'm glad you're here. Let's stand. Brother Mitchell will be speaking tonight. I hope you'll come. I really do. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory, revive us again. Now, I probably preached something I can tell by the look on your face. Some of you got a little ticked at me or got worried about me there earlier in the message. You just get over it and go home and have a good afternoon, all right? We'll see you.